This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Bloomington's aldermen have signed off on a broader mission for the city's cultural commission, taking its work beyond the northern edge of downtown. GLT's Ryan Denham covers that and more with Bloomington alderman and Mayor Pro Tem Karen Schmidt.
City leaders from Bloomington Normal join us the Tuesday after regular and special council meetings. Alderman Schmidt, thanks for joining us today on Sound Ideas.
Always happy to be here.
Last night, the Bloomington City Council unanimously approved a plan that will broaden the scope and rename the city's Cultural District Commission. Right. It'll become just the Cultural Commission, and instead of just focusing on that area outside the BCPA, it'll work on cultural programming citywide. So what did you think of this idea?
I really am glad that we're doing this. We've talked about this for a long time. We started out when we first acquired the BCPA, really thinking pretty narrowly about that area on the north end of the downtown. And I think as the commission and the work of that that group has expanded, this really makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, what it's doing now is the way we have a planning commission, for example. Now we have a cultural commission that really looks after and nurtures and champions all the different kinds of expressions of art in our community. And there's a lot.
Yeah, and the point was made last night that, you know, why isn't there more public arts on the east or west sides? Well, you know, with a few exceptions like the Ewing Cultural Center, the further east you go. Do you think that culture is maybe a bit too concentrated in just the downtown area?
I don't think it's concentrated. I'd love to see even more, but obviously expanding it out into the other parts of the community is a very good thing. A lot of us look at the ghost writing on the walls that are in the old buildings in the Warehouse District and West Side and see that as art. We've got some walls on old buildings in the West Side that have been painted and decorated. Those things can keep expanding, and that's all to the good.
And Alderman Johnny Painter asked a question last night. Does this mean that downtown will lose out on resources or some part of the city's focus? Do you have concerns about that, too, that if the commission is indeed working citywide, that'll take away attention from that northern edge of downtown that they've focused on historically?
No, actually, I don't think so. I think that, you know, that'll continue to be, first of all, we have the fundraising that we need to do for the Creativity Center. But, you know, things build on each other. In the downtown area, we've got the Downtown Bloomington Association Design Committee, and they've been doing painting the traffic control boxes and you know, adding on to the wall faces that we see. So I don't see any of that stopping at all. I think that this will connect and, you know, kind of create that network. The other thing I liked about it is that they are talking about being a clearinghouse. And we have different organizations that are doing that, but I think, you know, the Cultural Commission can probably really pull that together. WGLT does a fabulous job. So, you know, how do we link all those things together for a sort of one place to go?
And so all of this is, you know, very theoretical up to this point. You know, what could happen if the commission was reshaped in this way? What do you think is something that actually will happen? What's kind of a tangible thing that you think the public should probably expect to see now that the commission is being reconstituted in this way?
One thing I know that we've missed out on over the last couple of years are grants, you know, art and humanities funding. So I think we'll be getting more opportunities for to apply for grants. I also think that we will be able to identify some very good areas for art to grow and then to bring the artists and the ideas together. You know, where the city is looking at in the next week or two, probably at the end of June, we'll be looking at our codifying what we're doing with the Boys and Girls Club out at Sunnyside. That would be a great place to continue to grow art. You know, all of those places. We've got the beginning of Washington Crossing where Retrofit Culture is, and they've done some interesting things there. I can see that continuing to grow.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Alderman Karen Schmidt is in studio. Now let's pivot to the search for Bloomington's next city manager. Last week, the three finalists for the job did an open house at City Hall. They are interim city manager Steve Rasmussen and two external candidates, the Washington City Administrator Jim Collada and Decatur's city manager Tim Gleason. So, Karen, what did you think of their visits, and where did you see contrast between the three of them?
Well, first of all, I was really happy we have three very strong candidates, and they each bring a little different perspective to things. You know, Jim Colata, he really spoke a lot for me to cooperation, collaboration, and maybe bringing people together more as a team. And, you know, I mean, the more you do that, the better. Tim Gleason, he, in addition to his years of experience, I was very impressed with his community policing teaching that he does at UI Springfield and some of the diversity outreach he's done. Steve Rasmussen, you know, we've worked with him for a number of years now, and he really knows us well and understands our strengths and weaknesses and has moved a lot of projects along. So we spoke last night in another closed session, and that's, you know, we're still not at a place where we're going to be talking publicly about that, but we're getting close.
As an alderman, are you looking for someone that will stay in the city for a while? I mean, Normal's had some of these multi-decade city managers, right. But as I understand it, that's more the exception than the norm in that industry. What are you kind of looking for in terms of tenure?
Well, I certainly think that we need to be looking 3 to 5 years out minimum. You know, when you go through the kind of economic changes that this community, Bloomington and Normal together, are facing with the reconfiguration of State Farm and some of the other kinds of changes, you know, we really need to think about our financial planning, how we collaborate, public-private partnerships, and those all take time to grow and nurture. So having a 3 to 5 year plan, I think, is very realistic.
And so at what point will the council be able to make a decision and to move forward with a public announcement of who you've gone with?
I'm suspecting that you'll hear from Mayor Renner probably either very late this week or early into next week.
Gotcha. So as an alderman, I want to ask, are you getting what you need from interim city manager Steve Rasmussen and his staff to help you make decisions that are coming before the council?
Steve is very, very responsive. If I need anything at all, he responds personally and often shepherds things along. So I've enjoyed the budget process that we went through this past year, and you know, it was really good to have some choices and some clarity. Yeah, he's got a lot of experience.
And I've heard that comment is from other aldermen as well about the budget process and having a little more visibility, big picture was helpful.
Yeah,
I do want to ask about the change in liquor ordinance that halted developments at that corner of Hershey and GE Road. This was before the council, mm-hmm. about a month ago or so, maybe a little bit more. There was no staff recommendation, no community development impact, and aldermen, based on the discussion that we'd seen, seemed to not realize that packaged liquor sales actually include grocery stores. So I want to ask, in the context of the council getting what it needs from city staff, is that an example of a case where you didn't, or was that some other issue that kind of came into play?
Well, We had before us a liquor license change that had an impact then on how that particular corner developed. And I suppose it could have been addressed many different ways, but it went through the Liquor Commission with a unanimous recommendation. And it's very unusual that we would ever overturn a recommendation like that. You know, I could imagine that it might have come through in a very different way. And probably would have had the same outcome.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Alderman Schmidt is in studio. A couple weeks ago, the Bloomington City Council had a discussion about how and when to use a tax incentive tool called tax increment financing, or TIF is the shorthand for it. It's a popular tool, but it has its critics. The city is working on creating formal guidelines of when to use TIF so that other taxing bodies like schools aren't put at a disadvantage because they rely so heavily on property taxes.
Right.
So what were your takeaways from that discussion?
Well, we've been talking for quite a while with District 87 in particular about the use of TIF and whether we should be using other tools in the economic development toolbox before we go to TIF, and also making sure that we didn't replicate what we did with the downtown TIF, which was a huge area, you know, and really, it absolutely did it add dollars to our property tax base. It was like 3.5 times, I think, even considering consumer price index increases. Nevertheless, you know, it does tend to freeze things for 23 years. So what I took away from that was that, you know, we're in the middle of what I think is a very important and strategic conversation about how we interact with our partners and the transparency and the collaboration that we build around those relationships with economic development. The school funding in Illinois, as we know, is a huge challenge, and so everything we do has an impact on our schools. And, you know, even when TIF isn't involved, I'll think about, you know, some of the development that we've done where we put in multifamily units and suddenly, you know, either Unit 5 or District 87 has to deal with an influx of students and they hadn't planned on that. So, you know, sometimes that communication channel isn't as strong as it can be. So we'll continue this conversation next Monday, I believe. And I'm expecting that, you know, at minimum, we have established a much stronger and more open relationship with District 87 and any of the other taxing bodies that TIF would impact.
And you felt that openness when Superintendent Barry Rowley was in front of the council a couple of weeks ago. His comments were very, very pointed. I mean, he was cordial, obviously, but he obviously came there to make a point about, yes, hey, Alderman, you know, think twice before you use TIF. Look at other options first. You know, try other tools before you get to TIF. Do you think any of his comments landed with Alderman in a way that you think might change the direction of these guidelines you're preparing?
Well, yes, Barry was very candid, as I've always found him to be. And I believe he's probably, I've certainly had some conversations with him one-on-one, and I imagine the other aldermen have too. I think all of us are cautious about TIF because we want to make sure that we have good, powerful tools, but we don't want to use TIF in a sort of offhanded way. And so I think, if anything, that conversation makes us mindful of when we make decisions about, you know, is it a sales tax or is it some other kind of rebate or grant, facade grant, or, you know, those kinds of agreements that we reach. And Barry and his team have said, you know, when you look at other tools, you can often reach that same benefit. So I think that's going to help us. And, you know, certainly I know Austin Grammer is always mindful of that.
Let's pivot to the recent change in how the city handles bulk waste pickup. Mm-hmm. May 1st was the last free bulk pickup until October 1st. You know, that change was made to save money. But now there are some reports of mattresses and other stuff kind of stacking up on the curbs because maybe people didn't get the memo about the change. So what are you seeing in your ward, Ward 6?
Well, Ward 6, like Scott Black's ward in particular, and probably some of Amelia Burgess's in Ward 4, were very heavy on rental properties. And I think when you have a sort of older neighborhoods, rental properties, it's visible. It's on the street. And particularly after move-outs in May, towards the end of May with Wesleyan students and others, maybe who follow that academic year. So, you know, the city has a plan to educate, and it's a habit change and a culture change. People have a lot of options. And the other thing I've been really interested in is there's one or two people who are using this for a new business model. So they'll come and pick stuff up for you. You know, if you can't get it to our convenience center and you don't want to haul it back to, you know, into your house and you don't want to pay $25 to the city, you know, you can contract with somebody else. And neighbors are getting together to help one another, too. So,
and how strict or accommodating do you think the city should be with those folks who ultimately still have a bunch of stuff on their curb and maybe didn't hear about that change?
I'm really hoping that we'll begin to set some rules around landlords. And I'm a landlord, so I realize I'm talking about myself here too. But, you know, move-outs for people, that's part of doing business as a landlord. And that's very different from people who are cleaning out their garage or basement or attic or whatever. So, you know, I hope that we begin to parse those things out. And once we do that, I think we'll maybe that scenario shifts even more.
Last question, we'll get you on this. I think a couple of months ago, we had asked you if you had made any decisions about running for re-election in 2019, and I want us to know if you have made any decisions.
I haven't. I have not yet. I'm talking with some folks right now. I want to make sure that when I do decide that it's something that is good for the community. You know, I enjoy doing what I do, and I really love the public service aspect of it. But I also know lots of other people do, too. So, you know, I want to, at the time I am in my life, I want to make sure that, you know, if I run again, I've got, you know, the gas in my engine for 4 more years. And so soon, I promise soon.
Alderman Schmidt, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
You bet. Bye-bye.
I'm Ryan Denham.
And I'm Mike McCurdy. City leaders from Bloomington and Normal join us the Tuesday after regular and special council meetings. Next week, you'll hear from Town of Normal Mayor Chris Coos. This is Sound Ideas on GLT.